Previously on 24.
If I had to guess the bombs.
Where is he?
I don't know, but I can help you find him.
You're in the tracker now. We can track the isotope signature up to 15 miles.
And we are locked on the isotope signature that's being emitted from Grudenko's arm.
You led them to me.
I had no choice.
I don't like it. Something's wrong.
I'm heading in.
Which direction, Milo?
He stopped and entered the building on the left.
Milo, no one's in here.
God. He cut off Grudenko's arm. Ryan, move your men in now. I want Fayette alive.
I recognize him from the news. It's the terrorist they are looking for.
That is him.
Bastard.
Back off! Grudenko is not here. I need you to lock down the area and initiate a search.
One of the cabinet votes is invalid. The tally is 7-6. Favor of invoking the 25th Amendment and removing President Palmer from power. I'm sorry, Wayne.
Noah, don't waste your apologies on me because I won't let you steal the presidency.
As I'm sure you're aware, sir, conspiracy to commit perjury is a felony offense.
My affidavit will push the court to rule in your favor so that you can do what's right for this country.
You're right. Do it. Turn it off.
Wayne. The Supreme Court was just notified. Daniels withdrew his suit. You're still the President of the United States.
President Palmer.
What?
He's about to go ahead with a nuclear strike.
This makes no sense, sir. It's what you risked your life to stop.
Tom, I risked my life to reassert my authority.
Mr. President, we have a successful launch.
Good.
The following takes place between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m.
Hi, this is David Fury, the writer of episode 17.
And this is Brian Spicer, the director of episode 17.
Missile is just entering target's airspace.
And we begin where we left off, as usual. President Palmer is going ahead with the Vice President Daniels' plan to nuke the country of Fayed's origin.
Unnamed country.
A country that is not shaped in any way off of actual countries.
It is off a coast, though, because you can see the water right next to it.
Right. We don't want to give too many clues, though, Brian.
Okay.
But this was a shocking development to see Wayne Palmer going ahead with a plan that he was brought out of a coma to stop.
Now, but frankly, he's not optimistic about breaking it. What's going on?
The president's gone. Basically, we were trying to show Wayne in a different light. A lot of Wayne's earlier decisions were perceived by some as weak. And we thought, wouldn't it be interesting if instead of stopping the launch, he continues with it? Of course, we soon learned that it is a bluff.
Nope.
Sorry to give it up.
Yeah, you gave it away.
I gave it away, I'm sorry. But, you know, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you've already watched the episode. If you watch the episode starting with a commentary, you're gonna blow it.
I'm sorry.
Me too. I'll call you later.
Also, there were so many versions of this story where Grudenko, who died in the last episodes with, you know, his arm cut off, he was going to be still alive in this episode. We were going to have to deal with that and how he was getting medical help. And we eventually just decided just let him die.
Under the pier.
Under the pier. A very sad, lonely death.
I can't afford not to, please. Why are you doing this?
4 minutes to impact.
I think this was our first day of filming on this episode. And we shoot 2 episodes at a time. We shot 17 and 18 together. It takes about 16 days to complete. Maybe 17.
Yes.
Excuse me, we have the ambassador on for the president.
This is President Palmer.
Mr. President, my government has alerted me...
He did a great job. I mean, the tension in the scene of this imminent strike...
Stop it.
On what ground?
It's a difficult thing to play, I think, isn't it? I mean,
I think DB did a great job in this and really stepping up and never would believe he was bluffing. Was also been in contact with
Fayed. It's our belief that he's you also probably don't believe he was in a coma just an hour or so ago.
No, he really got his strength back.
Yeah, that's the nature of the show. You just have to make those buys that somebody who was pharmaceutically brought out of a coma could be this lucid and convey strength. He has no current
knowledge of the weapon's whereabouts. I thought this was his strongest episode yet.
2 minutes to impact.
I can't argue with you.
He might be his last, though, right?
That was my last.
If you've already seen the episode, you might know what happens.
Well, this is this episode very much plays like the climax of the season. I mean, this is almost the finale since we're dealing with putting the whole Muslim threat to rest in this episode, and that's been the arc of the entire season. And so we needed to make it. We needed to make it big. We needed to make it satisfying. And certainly, seeing or continuing on the thread of Fayed and the bombs, and you can only do those things just so long. It's very difficult to stretch that out over 24 episodes. And we tend to burn off story very quickly. But this seemed to be about the right time to wrap it.
As you wish, Mr. President.
Commander, abort code Alpha Zero Delta 9. Ditch it in the Gulf.
We're not telling you which Gulf, though. So, might be the Gulf of Mexico. You don't really know.
I suspected it.
Well, I'll see that the Vickery sends a recovery team to retrieve that nuclear warhead.
Peter McNichol, who's been so brilliant this season, he has been one of those characters that we have bounced all over the place from being villain to being an ally to friends of Jack, or FOJs as we like to call them. it's been a real it's difficult, and it takes an actor of his caliber to pull that off to make these turns. We make little distinctions of the differences of Wayne Palmer's policy and Vice President Daniel's policy, and he has to kind of ride that roller coaster of where his loyalties lie. Very much the same thing we did with Mike Novick.
This country is planning a full retaliatory strike against your people. Now I can stop it, but tell me where the bombs are.
That's a great... Where's that kitchen, by the way? Where is that location?
At the L.A. Times building.
Oh, right.
It's become our back lot. It's over here in Chatsworth. The old L.A. Times building that shut down and is now empty. It's about 400,000 square feet of space to shoot.
We use it a lot, don't we? For a lot of different...
Yes, we have. We just shot on the roof for episode 22, 21.
Trust me, I haven't begun to enjoy myself.
You'll get nothing from me, and you know it.
Lucy.
I love those shots. How do you think of to put those shots, you know, decide to shoot through that little slit? I mean, what makes you decide just put the camera over there?
Well, the show has always been a little voyeuristic, so I always try to find something to get behind, something to shoot through, so it looks like somebody's watching.
So when you're looking at any location, you always look through. You always look for those places to put the camera. CTU was built that way.
Yeah. I always look to use foreground, put the actors in the middle ground and have a background behind it so you have layers you're shooting through. Gives it depth. Makes you feel like the audience is watching it from, but not seeing quite everything.
Right.
I think it keeps the tension up quite a bit.
You have to try something more drastic.
See, that's the clue to me that this is Buchanan's idea to make this plan Fayed, but a lot of people still believe it was Jack.
Yeah. I questioned you when we had our meeting, at our writers' meeting.
And I still get questioned by it. Yeah. Like, so when Jack came up with a plan, I'm like, Jack doesn't come up, but Buchanan came up with a plan. No one wants to think that anyone besides Jack could come up with a plan like that. Jack's our hero.
Somebody came up with a plan.
I think this is a nice scene for Ricky.
Something that's really going to hurt this country.
Ricky's a great actor. He's really, really doing well on the show.
Yeah, we've Doyle sometimes utility player. He's the guy who just needs to be the de facto Jack. But giving him a scene here, which we needed the time for the Buchanan and Jack to concoct the plan, and him having this moment with Fayed, I think really helped define his character even further. That he is a hothead. He is a.
I said, lower your weapon.
He's not unlike a young Jack, really.
Yeah.
Buchanan wants us to transport Fayed back to CTU.
And Jack, I think we've been playing as, after his time in the Chinese prison, that he's reconsidering a lot of his MO. He's reconsidering the way he deals with the prisoners, including torturing them, which we've dealt with before. And Kiefer's, you know, been very vocal about, can we find another way, something else? Because I think that this Jack is different. He's not the guy who's ready to just torture in a moment's notice. He felt badly about what happened with his brother, about his brother's death, which he blamed himself for. I think there was a nice scene in that episode. I think it was 9, where he says to Buchanan, "You see, I'm not ready to come back. I went too far." Right. And you know, it's Jack sort of considering the kind of man he is.
Was that after the bomb went off?
Yeah. And after he killed Curtis, after he, there's so many things.
That's right. That was a great scene after he killed Curtis. Broke down.
Ambassador staff that more will be forthcoming and be relayed concurrently.
Somebody pointed out to me Habib, I believe, is an Arabic Jewish name. I didn't know that at the time. And they asked me if I wanted to change it. I said, no, let's see if anybody else catches that.
It's kind of good.
Kind of interesting that the lead terrorist has a Jewish background.
I did want to say, your handling of the crisis.
Tom, I know you're not happy that you were kept in the dark about the bluff. Joint Chiefs and I agreed to keep the plan closed.
That's not
it. This scene was intended as a little bit of a dance where Wayne's still anticipating that Lennox is not a supporter of his policy or his methods, and that Lennox is starting to come around and sort of recognize that Wayne's got some smarts that they hadn't given him credit for.
Long time. So let's be honest with each other.
And starting to respect him a little bit.
You believe the vice president was better suited to lead this country.
Yeah, and it's great that Palmer calls him on it.
No, that missile had detonated on foreign soil.
But he's coming around. It's the whole thing of we're learning. It's a learning experience. And I didn't give you enough credit. And of course, the irony of this whole thing is that it really is just proving that Daniels was right. Daniels was the one who believed that they were withholding and that he wanted to send them a message. And even if Wayne did... It was a bluff that he didn't intend to let the missile land. He was still essentially following through with Daniels' plan. So Daniels is the one who's really proven right, but he doesn't really get enough credit. We actually considered writing scenes where Daniels going, he took my plan. He's getting credit for this plan.
And there is a scene coming up where he kind of gives him a little bit of credit in the Oval Office.
Oh, right. That's in the next episode. Right?
It's an 18. Oh, they blend together for me, but yeah.
Yeah.
He does give him credit.
You have something on him, don't you?
Yes, sir, as chief of staff, I'm here to inform you and also to protect you. Those jobs don't always work in combination.
And did you like that? We changed that on the set on the day.
I did.
Some things change, you know. The scripts start off great, and then sometimes the writers...
No, there's a lot of things that are done on the set, which, you know, more often than not, it's better. It's better because the actors feel more right. They're very protective of their characters.
Yeah.
And they.
It's coming from their instinct and their gut.
But the intent was the same. It was exactly the same thing. I want to protect you, Mr. President.
Right.
I'm not your enemy. This is great. You shot this after everything else. You shot this a long time after the rest of the episode.
The action sequence was shot.
The action sequence.
Like a week after we finished the whole show.
Was it
show.
Just a week? It seemed like.
Maybe 2 weeks.
What I love is that they actually went to this extreme for a ruse. They actually, you know, I always imagined it was a little bit, it was a little less, they run them off the road, they go into a ditch, but the whole flipping.
Well, I wanted to make it
believable.
I wanted to fool the audience a little bit in thinking that this could actually be happening.
Oh, it's great. No, it's great. When I saw it, it surprised me and I went, wow, these CTU guys are hardcore.
Plus, we like to do action on this show big.
Well, you do it. You do it fantastic. I mean, there's nothing... He staged this beautifully.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, there was a... Also, it was scripted that Jack is wounded.
Yes, but we wanted him dead.
You wanted him dead. Yes. Now, my only concern was, if the audience saw Jack get hit and go down and apparently was dead, that, bam, they're going to know,
yeah,
well, this obviously isn't real. That was my only concern. But I think this happened so quickly, and I think people are still registering it. Now, they're saying, all right, Jack's unconscious. He got hit, and he's unconscious. But that was my fear. But after looking at it, when I looked at it in the editing bay, I went, oh, this looks so great, particularly for the shot that comes up right after.
Yeah, this scary. I could have done that as close up there with a little bit of head movement. I guess I could have done that to make you believe maybe he's not dead yet.
No, but not, what's but great is that you get this Night of the Living Dead moment, yeah, which is great. It's this great shot of the empty shot, the shot of the, and there's Jack, and then you see the cars, there's the CTU cars pulling up. And
you're not quite sure what's going on.
And then Jack sits up into it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool moment. That's
Thank
worth
you.
It.
Thank you. I think I was just going for that moment of reveal rather than seeing his eye pop open. Or
right,
anything.
Right,
what,
right,
what
right.
is what is the bigger reveal? And
right.
I thought that was the best way. I think it was actually Kiefer's idea to go ahead and be dead, play dead, rather than wounded.
Yeah, that's all good. Is that the Tundra, by the way? Is that
that's the Toyota Tundra commercial? Yes.
Yeah, we had. It was very important. We worked in a Toyota Tundra. We kept getting a mandate. Must have a Toyota Tundra.
It's actually a nice car. It's big.
It's yeah.
It's like a big Ford.
Yeah. And what's great about it is that it so easily fits. If they're following him, it doesn't look like any kind of institutional car or government, any kind of government vehicle. It's not a van. It's a truck.
Now, the stuff inside this vehicle was all done on stage with our poor man process with rear screen projections outside the window. Makes it easier and convenient for us to film.
We were the Al-Taharin cell. General Habib sent us.
You know, it was funny. I originally named the cell off the name of a real cell, and we weren't allowed to use it. I just kind of went, wait a minute, are we protected? Is that legal protection for the terrorist cell that I actually named it after? Are we afraid we'll be sued by the cell for using their name? I didn't really understand why we changed it, but... This was also, we worked this out together, didn't we, Brian? This whole thing about the gun and trying to figure out how Fayed gets a gun.
Yeah.
That he, they won't willingly give it to him unless asked, and when they offer it to him, he grabs somebody else's gun as if, that was great. I mean, that's all, it's just showing Fayed's smart, and they might not be prepared for it. Call us when you can.
Fayed, what do you want us to do? He's really done a good character in this arc. His name's Adani.
Yeah.
I worked with him years ago on a movie called Mikhail's Navy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you worked with my old buddy Tom Arnold?
Yes, I did. I think he ended up getting cut out, and I remember giving him a copy.
Tom Arnold got cut out of Mikhail's Navy?
No, Adani did. Oh. He was a small scene, but I always felt bad because he was good.
What did he play in that? I'm just curious. He
played one of the bad guys.
Yeah, I was wondering. You know, you look like a guy like Donnie. You know, you kind of figure you're going to be playing bad guys a lot.
Yeah. Well, he's a good actor.
He's a really good actor. And a great guy. Just such a sweet, a really sweet demeanor. And you don't really expect it from a guy who looks as scary as he does.
He says he goes around town now getting strange looks wherever he goes.
I wasn't able to extract any information from Fayed. He considered it a dead end.
Went back and forth with this scene. This is a scene that's basically set the... It's for the audience to be caught up into exactly the ruse... kind of explain everything to Wayne so he understood it. But there was concern because Wayne then goes into the ambassador after this scene and sort of explains the same thing. So there was a fear we were going to have to cut one scene or the other. And it just didn't, you know, it just didn't make sense for it to play out all with the ambassador. It was just too, it became too long and too drawn out. So I fought to kind of keep this establishing scene in here. I think these scenes are so important. What I've learned from working here is that in this show, you really need to reset the stakes and exactly what's going on for the audience. Find a briefing scene. Joel is always pushing for that. Joel Cernow is always pushing for, let's start with a briefing scene. Briefing scenes are great because they They really bring everybody up to speed. We're all on the same page. Because one of the things about that ruse that they just played that's very unlike our show, we usually do things cards up. Everybody knows. The audience, the White House, everybody knows what's happening almost at the same time. It's just the way the show is. We don't play anything close. We don't want anyone to be, you know. So that was a very Mission Impossible sort of thing that we don't usually do. But I was able to, you know, that was able to put that in, and I think it worked really well. If I do say so.
It did work well.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Ambassador.
Mr. President.
The Prime Minister has asked me to convey his gratitude to you for stopping the attack on our country.
Well, let's talk about this scene for a second, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because this was a very controversial scene when I wrote it, and what the audience won't see, unless there's DVD extras, I doubt there will be.
I don't know if it'll be in that.
I doubt it.
You took out just
but,
two lines, right?
President Palmer actually makes a much more hardline case to the ambassador. Right now, when the ambassador says, we've arrested him and we've arrested his family, Wayne says, have you threatened to kill them? He was going to take it further, and Wayne was going to say, here's what you should do. He has two sons. What if you shot one in front of him and to get him to confess to spare the other's life? It was an outrageous thing for a president to do. And again, I saw it as another bluff on Wayne's part. Just saying, I'm not the same pushover that I was before. The concern from some people, Bob Cochran, for instance, was very concerned about how that would play overseas. There's a lot of countries that think that our presidents actually do that. They actually order people executed, order children executed to get people to talk. And he just didn't want to, you know, he was very conscious of that. He was very concerned. By the same token, the actors really weren't sure how to play it, because even though the president's bluffing, they were also, Karen, the roles of Karen and Lennox, they were also in support of what he was trying to do. So they didn't act shocked when he said, have you considered killing one son? So it played very odd. It played that this is really business as usual in the U.S. government. Instead of them being shocked by what he was suggesting and possibly chalking it up to Wayne's state of mind, you know, because he's ill. But it never quite played correctly, and it was despite every different variation we had of cutting it, it still bothered Bob. It still bothered him very much that we might be putting up the wrong message to our fans in foreign lands. And I appreciate that. I mean, I know there's... I'm just looking for what's the most compelling drama and what's the most, you know, shocking thing we can do. And sometimes it's too shocking, I guess.
I think that was the only change in the entire episode, though. Was it not?
Is that right?
I think
it's
so.
It's possible.
From all the way to the studio and the network?
But you remember that scene we had to keep going. I was on the set, and I know... Peter had a lot of concerns about it. Jane Atkinson came to me and wanted to address her side of it, and it was just a very tricky scene to play. I think it plays great now. I think it plays absolutely fine. It gets it across. I just sort of miss. I know Dibby Woodside had come to my office to thank me for this scene,
right?
That where he gets to say this horrific thing and shock. But you know, we do have some moral obligations to the world, I guess, especially when we've learned our soldiers are learning torture techniques from watching our television show.
Are they?
So I understand, which is very troubling, because we don't do it very well. I mean, we don't. Torture doesn't work that way. It works great dramatically. It just doesn't work in the real world that way. Oh, that was about Milo being jealous of Doyle. I forgot that. That's something we've been teasing along. It was something that I've had trouble trying to buy into the idea. And again, it's because of the compressed nature of our show that there's some connection between Nadia and Doyle, that there's a flirtation going on. And it's very hard to get there after the first, they're pretty much first...
first meeting, yeah.
The first meeting, he's choking her in a holding cell.
And now she likes him.
And she's going, I like him. He's kind of cute. But hopefully with the weeks that It'll be interesting to see it on DVD, but in the weeks between episodes, you can sort of buy this growing attraction, I guess, or interest, or not.
I think by 21 or 22, you see a little bit more. You see a little more of an attraction there.
Yeah. This is going south, Jack.
Just be patient.
Don't be a fool, Fiend. You know how this works. Every cell is autonomous without the knowledge of what the others are doing. It is the only way that we can protect ourselves and our operation should any of us get captured.
One of the great things about this show is the cast. The casting is so good. Our casting people really bring in great
people. Peggy and Debbie are fantastic.
And the crew. We really have to thank the crew, the camera guys, and everybody.
They really put through it's a difficult shoot, isn't it? It's a difficult show to do. I mean, from your standpoint, I know it's difficult to script. But
there's a lot going on and a lot to keep up with. And when we're in this time zone, it's a lot of night shooting, exterior nights.
Right.
So we're usually working all nights when we're exterior.
So you're still playing out the sun scenario.
Come on.
Of course I sent them. Do you still have the bombs? There are two left.
I love this scene. This was also shot at the LA Times building in their locker room. That's all.
The Russian Grudenko failed to provide us with a means to a secondary...
And this was great, too. We had a whole conversation playing out in Arabic, and we were going, are we going to subtitle all this? And then, the fix was... And, in fact, Donnie called me saying, I don't speak Arabic. I can't carry this. I'm not going to be able to carry this on very long. And so we scripted in Nadia translating throughout. We just... Originally, I scripted it where she's sporadically translating. We just had her do, I think it was your suggestion, just have her do it the whole time, and you were able to use it, and it didn't put the pressure on the actors. The actor playing the general does speak Arabic. He had no problem. And Adani, I understand,
he
called
it.
Me and said he nailed it.
He learned it,
He learned it and nailed it. But even so, it works so well with Nadia doing the simultaneous translation.
I think I really just want Nadia to do the whole thing so we had a choice in editing if we were to come in and out of it. But we used it for the whole thing. It worked out great.
I think it worked really, really well.
President?
I think it's another scene he did really well. He was really good.
It was a really difficult.
Tough,
yeah, because what was being asked of him was to be presidential as he's ever been. And, you know, Wayne was scripted to be a guy who's in over his head. He was scripted to be a guy who's brought into office on the goodwill toward his brother. But it really was, he really was in over his head. But here, after everything that's happened, we really wanted to show Wayne being strong and confident. But at the same time, he's infirmed. And we had to set the stage for the fact that he can't just come out of a coma and be perfectly fine. I mean, they can shoot him up with adrenaline and he can seem to be, he can act the role, but it's not going to last.
Mr. President.
No one can know.
Sir. Mr. President.
Imagine he must have looked to you a lot for that.
He came in really prepared. Really prepared. And the scene coming up in the press room. Is it 17 mm-hmm. or 18? 17. Press room?
Press room is in 18.
18.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to wait for 18 to type out that.
Well, I worked on 18 too, so I feel... like you, I feel a little proprietary to both episodes.
No one moves until Jack calls with confirmation that the nukes are there. Make sure Fayette's vehicle and the follow car...
Actually, I want to point out that Manny Coto did a lot of work on this act. Basically, the action sequence that's leading into Fayette's escape, and Jack, Manny did a lot of that.
In the tunnel?
He's really good at it. Yeah, the tunnel stuff, yeah. I mean, it was outlined, I outlined it, we talked about it, and he went and wrote the first draft of it. I took it over after the first draft, but he did such a great job, I didn't have to change very much.
Years ago in a raid by Afghan forces.
But the general spoke about him as if he were alive.
Okay, he could be referring to another Samir.
Or it could be a code.
This whole script is really strong and had a lot going on in it for, like you said, the sort of the ending of the this portion of
and the events. Introduction of a whole new story.
18 will start up pretty much with all new things.
Didn't we also have scheduling problems, I thought, with Mary Lynn and with...
Not on this episode.
Audrey. Okay. I just remember we kept taking Chloe out or taking Milo. So who's going to play this scene with? I think at one time it was Chloe and Nadia. Then it was Milo and Nadia. Anyway, the point is all three of them are in this scene now. Right. But I kept remembering writing different versions where different people were playing out the scene. I don't remember what the reasons for that were.
Yes. Jamal, this is Agent Bauer. I'm in the follow vehicle behind you. I need you to listen to me very carefully.
Go ahead.
We believe that General Habib may have given Fayed a distress signal. Fayed might know that this is a setup.
This is a show with a lot of turns. This episode has a lot of turns in it. It's the ruse is on Fayed. Fayed gets a code from the general. It's a lot of turning on each. Everything keeps turning on each other.
They went into a tunnel about a quarter of a mile ahead.
You know, there was always questions. I think early on, is it too much? Is it too many turns? But I think. I keep
you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. I said we need these turns. I think it's great. Because everybody has to seem smart. Jack needs to seem smart. Fayed needs to seem smart. If Fayed falls for the original ruse and just takes him to the... Then he's an idiot.
He's not a worthy opponent.
Exactly. So it's always a difficult dance. Sometimes it takes us a while to get there, and sometimes we don't get there. Sometimes characters do seem stupid because we didn't really look long and hard at how can we make them seem smarter? How can we have them anticipate what their opponent's going to do? This was a great location.
Yeah, it's fun to
shoot. Actually bleeds into a different location, right? I didn't realize that when I saw the chase.
Okay, I connected them together with two different pieces.
Were they even close?
No, this is under the Van Nuys Airport, Sherman Way Tunnel.
Okay.
So we closed down for the night.
Area 1, do you copy?
And then when he runs
into that door,
which we put there.
So oh, you put the door there.
The door there, yeah.
What was there before?
Just a hole.
Really?
There's holes in that tunnel. And then is in the generator room back at the LA Times building. There's a little connective tissue.
Well, that's a great building, LA Times building.
It's got all the extra stuff.
Season there.
Yeah, you can. You can. So many different looks. And then he comes out. This is the Northridge Mall.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's where we guessed all those people last year. That's like the loading bay of the mall?
Yeah, it's a loading bay underneath, I think it's Macy's or one of the department stores.
Wow. Our location people are pretty great, too.
We spent a lot of time looking for locations on the show and getting everything to connect and look good. It's a very sort of dark and grungy show, so we like to find... That sort of dark, worn look. Old.
So many, I know, but there's so many pieces, so many locations for so many pieces. I mean, that was just a short piece. And... Mm-hmm.
Now, this is right there is actually a stunt double for Kiefer, but coming up, you'll see that actually Kiefer was underneath the truck, cabled for safety. But in this shot right here,
that's an amazing shot, too.
We drove,
got that shot.
Kiefer did it for us, he wanted to do it. And that's him. Driving at 30 miles.
Was he pretty unnerved? Was
Kiefer... he was okay. And this is actually live, too.
Was he nervous at all doing it?
I don't think so. I think he was calm.
Good
did
for
one
him.
Take.
What a pro.
Oh, he's amazing. He really drives this show.
Oh, yeah.
Both on the set and off the set and character. He's really...
But actually riding under a truck with a rotating... whatever that was, axle or...
Drive shaft.
That's...
And when we set it up, he and I both talked about making him look like he was in close to danger by the drive shaft.
Right.
And powers to be wanted to make it a little safer and kind of moved him away from it. That little platform that's built there was actually built for him to lie on.
Right.
And when he got there, he's like, I'm not lying on that. I want to be underneath the drive shaft. So we changed it and put it to the way we originally wanted it, which was...
I fought this... It was Howard's idea that... That Jack climbs under a truck, like Fayed's getting away in a van, and originally it was just a van, and he had Jack, you know, crawling under it. I went, right. That's just lame Cape Fear. I just didn't believe it was going to work.
When I first read it, I felt the same way.
That's so cheesy. It's riding under the back. But when you look at it, and the garbage truck really makes it work.
Well, that's what it was. We went to a big yard that had a bunch of vehicles, and I walked around and I said, it's only going to work if we find the right vehicle for this to work. And there it was. I made it play.
No, sir. Another ejection would kill.
Had to be big enough so he didn't look too big under,
and he'd buy that he wouldn't be seen, in such a big, you wouldn't feel the weight of his body getting onto the vehicle.
Exactly.
So I think they really sold it, and certainly Kiefer underneath it was pretty cool.
Please listen to this man. Let him perform some tests.
When this crisis is over, Tom, and those nukes are secured.
In my opinion, you won't last that long.
I might surprise you.
Mr. President, if you don't get down to medical right now, you can have my resignation.
I won't accept your resignation, Arthur, so don't bother.
A lot of people resigning this year, offering the resignation. I mean, maybe it's every year, but it just seems this year we just have a lot of resignations going around. I'm resigning. I'm not going to let you resign. I accept your resignation. I want your resignation on my desk in the morning. A lot of that this year.
That'll be a drinking game this year.
Yeah. To go with Jack's damn it.
Call CTU. I want to know what's happening.
All right, sir.
It's funny. I directed DP in an episode of Buffy years ago where he was beaten horribly. It's like that's the only times I see DP when we actually have any real contact. He's wearing all this contusions and...
Beaten up,
looking like he's about to drop.
I think I worked with him the first time on the... Is it the first season or the third season? When he was the brother of the president.
Yeah, I think that was the third season. Now, what's this location?
This is down in Vernon. This whole thing is an old big factory where they made munitions for the war that's still there.
Is it closed? Is it...
It's still
active?
It's making hubcaps, I think.
Oh, really?
Or something. They're pressing out some sort of metal discs. They may be tracking
me. It's not safe yet. They're stripping down stolen cars.
Possibly. Well, one side of it, they're making fabric. The other side, they're making... I don't know what they look like. Mortar shells or something, I'm not sure. I think it's one of our best... We're always looking for warehouses to shoot in. I think you'll find in our show there's a warehouse, there's a table, and there's a chair in every scene.
Yeah.
So in this episode, I really tried hard to get different warehouses, and I took tables and chairs away and put boxes.
I don't know how you avoid that. It's a tricky thing. You're always looking for layers for the bad guys. And
stuff to shoot through like this.
Yeah. Warehouses just... They do it. You have to find some place that's not occupied. Sometimes we'll do abandoned office buildings, but, there's not a lot of variation. We'll do an old house somewhere.
And this place had all windows up above, so we had to shoot it at night on half of it, and the other half we blacked in so we could shoot part of it in the day.
Is that, what's that light that's coming from the ceiling now? Is that moonlight? It looks like moonlight. Is that all artificial?
Yeah, it's our light. And then we built this cage around this stuff and made our little set.
That's great. There she. The production design on this show is just incredible. Joseph Hodges.
Yeah, Joseph Hodges does a great job building sets and keeping the look consistent.
Of course, I know when he opens up a script and says he's warehouse, he's probably, oh, God. I have to think of an interesting way to do another warehouse. He was that way when we first introduced the idea of the White House bunker. We said, well, the president moves down to a bunker. Oh, not a bunker.
Not another, we did a bunker.
Not another bunker. Yeah. We have to do another bunker. How do you make a bunker look? So he made this one look a little futuristic, a little, the bunker when the White House...
Now, this action sequence, we pre-planned most of it, and some of it we rehearsed on the day.
It's a great fight. I mean, it's great hand-to-hand combat.
Our stunt coordinator, Jeff, is really working well this year with us, and helping us choreograph all these fights and making them look real. He does all our car work, too. He's really good.
We don't usually do this kind of, this extended fight.
No.
We never do extended fights. We do firefights, but very little. So this was great.
This was great for the climax of these two characters. I mean, they've been torturing each other for how many episodes now?
Yeah. Lots of bad blood. Yeah, well, Fayed wanted... I mean, the whole season opened between these two. Fayed wanting to kill Jack Bauer for killing his brother. And then it's Kiefer who added the line, isn't it?
Yeah, he and I wanted to say something.
He wanted to have a little Joel Silver moment.
Yeah. We came up with like four of them, and this was the best.
Say hello to your brother for me. Hasta la vista, baby. Now, Donnie got hit. He actually got hurt doing this, right?
Well, not hurt. He, I think he's a diabetic, and he slipped with a plastic chain around his neck.
Right.
And he was really worked up during the fight and just lost his breath.
Oh.
I think he just lost his balance and passed out for a minute.
That must have been a little scary moment.
Yeah.
But he's perfectly fine, as you can tell from his earlier commentary. Yeah.
But he did a great fight for us. Some of that stuff we had to bring back to stage. And finish the close-ups of him.
Yeah, I'm fine. How'd you find me?
Well, we tracked the sanitation truck.
And also, that ending was a bit different from what you and I had talked about when we talked about this. Our original version was Kiefer pushes that button to try to save himself because
the bad guy's
got him choked out.
Yeah, that was another controversial thing, yeah. Because it's Jack executing the bad guy, which Jack Bauer generally doesn't do.
Well, yeah.
But what works, why we, there was a lot of discussion with the network, but the justification for it is, again, Jack isn't quite himself this season after what he suffered. And if he's a little more vindictive than the Jack Bauer we know, that's all part of his pathology now because of what he's been through.
And he came up with this moment right there where he picks up his empty gun and looks at all the carnage.
Right.
And realizes once again how much he's gone through.
Right. Nice.
And the toll it's taken out on him.
Hello.
Jack. And now there's this play.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Audrey.
Help me, Jack. Please, help me.
What the hell is going on? Audrey, where are you?
Hello, Mr. Bauer. Yes, Miss Raines is alive. If you wish her to remain that way, you will call me back in 10 minutes.
And we went back and forth whether this was going to be Philip or...
That's right.
Or Jack.
Philip or Chang.
I wrote two versions of it. Should we reveal Philip here? Should we reveal the Chinese here?
I think this was the best way to go.
Yeah.
It's the more surprising way to go.
What's Jack going to do now?
Great. Thank you. Thanks for watching.
Thank you. Thank you for directing.